disrespectful. So disrespectful. I'm so disrespectful. So disrespectful.
Welcome, everybody. This is the second episode of So Disrespectful. My name is Ricardo Hicks, or you can call me Tonio. We're going to talk about a couple of things tonight. First, we're going to deal with the LeVar Bell thing. First and foremost, LeVar Bell and his own TV show. That guy is one funny dude. Honestly, I ain't going to lie to you. The things that he said out of his mouth, sometimes you have to ask yourself, is this guy really for real? But then sometimes you look at him and the way he talks, you be like, okay, either you doing it for a brand or you need to be evaluated for some things. But I can say what I want to talk about when it comes to LeVar Bell is the whole LeVar Bell and the LeBron James kid thing. Now, I heard the comments of LeVar Bell and for what he said, and I heard the comments of LeBron James. But if you actually analyze what LeVar Bell said about LeBron James' kids, was he just really going at him in the wrong way? If you think about it, he's right for what he said about potentially LeBron's kids in the NBA. If you look at the history of the sons of the NBA and their dads that were great, they do have a tendency not to be as good as their father. For example, remember a guy from the New York Knicks, Patrick Ewing? Patrick Ewing was one of the 50 best players in the NBA. Patrick Ewing had a mid-range. He was a rebounder. He was a defensive stopper. He was a really great athlete. So, now look at his son, Patrick Ewing Jr. Patrick Ewing Jr. is considered one of the worst NBA players, second-generation NBA players. If you can go on Google right now and look up the top 15 worst second-generation kids, he's actually number two. So that tells you right there that, maybe LeVar Bell has something that he's kind of hidden. So let's dig a little deeper. Another guy I looked up was Glenn Rice. Now, I know some people may not remember Glenn Rice, and if you're a basketball head, you should be ashamed of yourself if you don't remember Glenn Rice. Glenn Rice is one of the nastiest three-point shooters in the history. He literally can shoot your eyes out, your nose out, your mouth, and your ears. But his son, Glenn Rice Jr., not so good like his father. See, he had a lot of things to live up to. He couldn't live up to his legend of his father. And because you can't live up to the legend of your father and live up to the jump shot, the aura your father created for himself, then you consider a bust as well. But I think what comes to the fact is everyone look at Michael Jordan. MJ's arguably, my estimate he is, but some people could argue as the greatest of all time. But what happened to his sons? They're not even mentioned as a father-son worst duo because his son's nowhere near as their father. So you got to think about it. Was LeVar Bell really off what he said about kids and monstrous fathers and the kids don't do good? Because there are a lot that didn't do what their fathers did. Think about Bill Walton. Bill Walton was a great player in his day. His son Luke, considered one of the biggest busts in the NBA history. Others like Michelle Thompson. I bet you didn't know that Klay had a brother. He was drafted in 2011. I'll leave it at that. James III. Everybody, a lot of old heads remember his father. His father was really good. James III, most of them known to being the guy that LeBron James jumped over to dunk at, that guy. So I can go on and on. Now, but let's look at the flip side of what he said. LeVar Bell said that players that fathers weren't really that good, like superstars, but their sons are really good. But he's not telling the truth. Let's look at Steph Curry with Dale. Dale Curry was a really good player, but people comparing Steph as being one of the greatest of all time, the greatest shooter of all time. Steph is just going down as a Hall of Famer. Look at Michael Thompson, his son Klay. Michael Thompson was a pretty good player, but as you can see, Klay is one of the Splash Brothers. If it weren't for Klay, when they won that championship, Klay helped him for that. So Klay actually is on the way to being passing his father. Then, of course, there is Joe Bryant and Kobe Bryant. I mean, Kobe, Black Mamba, the assassin, the inmate, number 24. To me, the greatest Laker of all time. Him and Magic battling. And, yes, and I say he's over Kareem because a lot of times, yeah, Kareem was good at L.A., but remember, he was with another team. Let's be real. Shaq was good with L.A., but Shaq was very, very good with the Magics. And after he went to Miami, even though he was really getting old, he still was a dominant player. So that tells you about that. But let's stay on topic. And then there's Jimmy Walker and Jalen Rose, who are considered the best duo because they both score over 10,000 points in their careers. So technically, what LaVar said was is accurate. Now, to me personally, right now, if you guys don't remember Tim Hardaway, the father with the crossover, I mean, right now, as you can see on TV, he's basically having a barbershop beef with Allen Iverson, who had the best crossover. I looked at both. I grew up with both, but I'm from Virginia, from New Britain, Virginia, but I have family and friends who knew Allen Iverson. Heck, I knew his mother, Ann. So my family knew Ann. My family knew AI. So I'm going to go with the hometown, man. I mean, I grew up with Allen Iverson. Like, I grew up looking at him. I grew up when he first came to Philly. He's the reason why I like Georgetown, my favorite college team. So I have to give that to Allen Iverson. But Tim Hardaway Jr., he's actually putting up decent numbers this year. So if you look at it like this, if he continue with the pace, that he could be like another Jimmy Walker and Jalen Rose, because Tim Hardaway, his father is a Hall of Famer. He is a Hall of Famer. And Tim Hardaway Jr. may not be a Hall of Famer, but he keep playing that role that he could possibly match up with his father. So what do you guys think of this situation as I go into the next topic? The next topic I want to talk about is the NFL rules. The NFL's coming out with rule changes for the upcoming season. So if you notice, a lot of the stuff that they're changing is kind of like, what? Now, there are only a couple of this good. One of the changes they're going to make is fewer commercial breaks, which to me is a hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus moment. If anybody ever watched a football game, yes, we get tired of all the commercial break after break after break. It's a touchdown, it's a break. Extra point is a break. Kickoff is a break. Interception is a break. Completion is a break. Break, 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 break. You can always kill time by highlighting players, highlighting the games, the injuries, or whatever. But every time you have a break, just please chill with the breaks. And I'm glad Roger Goodell is actually looking to this, because we get tired of saying, hey, first down, break. Uh-oh, they ran third down, time for fourth down, break. Punt, break. Ball in the air, break. I'm glad he's thinking about doing that. Another issue that's a problem in the NFL is the season. Now, I do like what one of the former NFL players came up with, was the idea of, instead of being 17 weeks, make it 18 weeks with two bye weeks. At least it'd be the exact amount of games, but the players have an extra time to get some rest and another week off. And that will help the fans as well, because now as a fan, we get more games at the same time that players would get what they want, because they would get more breaks. So I ask you, like, do you like the idea about the NFL? Now here's another one, and it just will never go away. It's the NFL overtime rules. I truly believe that this rule will never be satisfied for both parties. So you have a lot of fans who want NFL to go to the college rules. Now, in case y'all, some of y'all know what the college rules is, you know, you start at 25 and, hey, you scored, another team get a chance, and they scored, and another team get a chance. You score, and if one team can field goal, another team score, game over, or if one team don't score, the other team can field goal, game over. I say overtime rules is like world peace. You know how many times everybody say, you know, go to the pass and ask you, what do you want? What do you want? What's your wish? I want world peace. I just need world peace. Even though in the back of your mind, you know we're never going to get world peace It's the same thing with overtime rules. We want it to be perfect, but we know it's never going to be perfect. Me personally, I kind of like it the way it is now. At first, I didn't want it to be this way because I like how the college rules was. But once you get older and you start to analyze and look at the stuff that NFL players go through, you start to come to yourself like, well, yeah, these guys go through a whole lot in their time as NFL players. Plus, they're older and they have a whole lot of health issues too. So, great cosplayers do go through things, you know, school, books, tests. But the things that the NFL players have to go through is a little bit more. You know, the OTAs, the training camp, the preseason, the season. Then they got the playoffs. And they got this, all these two-a-days, these three-a-days, and all these other things they have to go through. And it does take a toll on the body. Because you got to look at it like this. Cosplayers, 4 years. But you be in the NFL, if you're blessed to be in the NFL, 5 years, 10 years. You get older, and then your bones don't work like it used to. So sometimes you be like, well, I don't really feel like going the extra time, knowing that, hey, unless they change it, if you play on Sunday night and you have to play Thursday, you really ain't got no time to rest. So back to what I said, what does that mean for a team when it's overtime with the rules now? There's energy and there's motivation. Now, overtime, you may get be tired, but just think about when that coin toss happens and your team wins the coin toss and you receive it. You start thinking in your mind how we was down 30 points and we just came back. Now we got the ball again, and if we score, it's over. So that's added motivation, added energy. That makes the game even more fierce because now the offense is going to go harder than ever. And once they win, it's over. The score is over. Game over. So once again, overtime will just never be satisfied. We need to just take it as it is and hope to have a great game when it comes down to overtime. Now, this is my final thoughts. You know, like I said, this is the second show. I have topics I want to speak about. I want to speak about more topics, but these are two ones that's really hot right now. The whole LeVar Bell and LeBron James. LeVar Bell going against Charles Barkley. LeVar Bell, like I said before, he's on comedy show, so I'm going to need Comedy Central to contact LeVar Bell so to give him a contract to get his own TV show, because that man is a comedian genius. Kevin Hart need to put him in a movie. And then you got the overtime rules with the change that come through and everything they're doing. Okay. But there's another thing that I really want to talk about when it comes to the NFL. And this is my biggest issue. My biggest issue with the NFL, me personally, is the celebrations. You know, some people call the NFL the no fun league. And it's starting to look like it's going that route. You telling me right now you're giving grown men a videotape of how to celebrate in the NFL. That one remind me of the time, like that's like saying the movie Pootie Tang. I don't know if you ever seen it, but we ever seen the movie Pootie Tang when they needed the imposters. They gave video to everybody wanting to be an actor Pootie Tang, how to walk like him, how to talk like him, what to do like him. You're telling a grown man how to celebrate. Now, if any of these people, I ain't gonna say the word, but I'm gonna say these people that's in the NFL in the high executive have never played NFL, don't know how it feels to actually score a touchdown. Because first and foremost, it's hard to score a touchdown in the National Football League. You're around a bunch of professional dudes who are big, fast, hit hard, and they go through so much during the game, before the game, after the game. Just they go through so much. So when they get inside of an end zone, that's already hard to get into. Give them their time to celebrate. Give them the time to have fun. You know, when they first brought it up, Stephen A. Smith, he talked about race in the NFL. Because a lot of people go to racism. But I'm going to say that this may just actually kind of do feel like a sneak diss to the urban community. Because if we think about the history of the NFL, a lot of the urban players that came were flashy, dancing, had fun, joked around, just did things that was out of the norm. Just think about the 80s. The U. For some guys, people don't know who the U is, That's the Miami Hurricanes. Just think about when they had Jerome Brown, Michael Irvin, and all those other guys that used to do all those wild celebrations. I mean, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. We talk about the U. He always said it's a U thing. Warren Sapp, it's a U thing. McGinn, it's a U thing. It's a U thing for them to act that way. So, you know, the high elves that don't see the urban community looking like that, oh, we can't have that in the NFL. But if you look at the NFL even before that, remember a guy named Billy White Shoes? You had the Icky Shuffle. Yeah, Dion with the Primetime Dance that even to this day people still do. And then if you fast forward even down, I mean, even down to my team, I'm a Washington Redskins fan. We had the Fun Bunch, which was everyone get together and they just jump a high five. But let's fast forward now. Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens had one of the best celebrations that I see. I don't want to come close to him is Chad Johnson. But T.O. from the Sharpie, the popcorn, with the cheerleaders. I mean, the stuff that he did was just like, wow. And a lot of people, try to imitate it, and they really did a good job. Steve Smith tried to do celebrations. I mean, Randy Moss tried to do celebrations. I mean, everybody just tried to emulate him. Then you had Chad Johnson. Chad Johnson had the river dance, the boxing, the golf, the future Hall of Famer jacket. You know, he has things like that that was really entertaining. And you look at it like this is stuff that we do. This is stuff that you have fun. But now it seems like every little thing that's done in celebration is a problem. Josh Norman got sued for doing a bow and arrow celebration. A bow and arrow celebration. And they sued him.
The NFL is using their money on the wrong things. I agree with Richard Sherman and Travis Kelce how you need to let players be players. They're doing so much to stop the fun. You might as well be a robot. Now I can see if players are scoring and throwing up middle fingers to the fans. Players are scoring and pointing to the area telling their players to basically DXYs suck it. Or anything crazy like that. But Antonio Brown twerking. Travis Kelce doing a Young Thug dance. You know, players just want to have fun. And they think that's as fun as what they do. Let them have fun. It is not degrading. It's just a regular dance. If you want to get, if NFL wants to really get technical with a lot of stuff, why not penalize Aaron Rodgers for doing his discount double check celebration? How about Grump spiking the ball? Because if you look in the rules, anytime you delay a game by either spiking the ball or throwing the ball, that is considered a delay. But they don't get on Grump for it. Tony Gonzalez had possibly the most infamous celebrations, which was dunking the goal. Now, if you do anything with the goal, dunking, shooting, or whatever, you get sued for it. See, it's stuff right like this that make the NFL weak. It's things like this that make you raise an eyebrow to the NFL, because now, if they want to talk to anybody in the NFL about these celebrations, these issues, yeah, you go to Roger Goodell. But why don't the NFL Players Association stand up for their players? And let the higher committee know that these are players. We played the game. We know how it feels to score, or we don't know how it feels, but we know it's hard to score in the NFL. Why don't they stand up? You have Martellus Bennett say something about where they should spend their money. And he is telling the truth. NFL, you should spend your money on players' health. Spend your money on stadiums, TVs. Spend your money on players who retire and need help. Spend your money on things like that. Why are you so concerned about celebrations? So this is what we call Pettyville Central. And the NFL is basically the mayor of Pettyville. Now, we're down to the last portion of the show, which is I like to call personal talk, which is basically I like to speak on things that's very dear to my heart when it comes to sports. For one, if anyone who knows me knows that my two favorite teams are the Chicago Bulls and the Washington Redskins. Now, let me start with the Bulls. I knew for a fact the Bulls was going to have a few bad seasons. Once, I'm going to say they, I love to say we, but I'm gonna say once they got rid of Tom Thibodeau. Now under Tom Thibodeau, you gotta understand a couple of things. Derrick Rose was MVP. Actually, he had one of the best times in his career with us. When we were a top notch defensive team. Yes, offense was little bit, but our defense what made us dominant. I mean, if you notice, our defense under Tom Thibodeau, we gave LeBron James and the Cavaliers challenges. Remember how Noah used to always say, "I want LeBron, I want LeBron." We would be the ones that actually challenged LeBron for that throne. A lot of times when they were like, "Who will be the best?" They had the Chicago Bulls and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, this is when things started to go to our left field. When we got rid of Tom Thibodeau and brought in Fred Hoiberg. Now, I understand Fred Hoiberg is supposed to be there to help the offense generate points at the offense, but it's just not working. We supposed to have Hoiberg to upstart the Chicago Bulls offense, try to use what Tom Thibodeau for defense, but just add a little bit to offense, and as you can see, it's just not pulling no weight. And then it's the general managers. So we went to go and get Rajon Rondo. First and foremost, anybody know Rondo? He doesn't shoot threes. His free throw percentage was actually low. He is a good defender. He's a great passer. But after the Celtics, you see that some places he goes to is issues. Now we got to have him, and we had an issue with him. Then we get D-Wade. Now, if this was the D Wade with the early in his career heat, in the middle career heat, where injuries weren't really like that, oh yeah, I'd be excited. But as you can see, lately, injuries has been his Achilles heel. As you can see, he's out for the season for an injury. And then we trade away Taj Gibson, who was a good player, a monster rebounder, a bruiser, and a scrapper in the paint, and somebody like, he, to us, even though he was on a bench, sometimes I would have him want him to be over starting Paul Gasol or put Paul Gasol center wise or something. But we get rid of Taj Gibson. And then we had Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is our team. And the rumors is that we're trying to trade Jimmy Butler. So it's things like this that makes me wonder exactly what in the world is going on with the Chicago Bulls. And if the general manager even know what he's doing. Because it seems like it's all on Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler do need help. We are not even in a playoff run. We're not in the playoffs. We're a game and a half away. An eighth spot. And it could be a possibility that we don't even make the playoffs. And all this is because the decisions that has been going on for the past couple of seasons that really needs to change. Now, next is the Washington Redskins. For the Washington Redskins, I have been saying this for over a decade. The minute Daniel Snyder bought the Washington Redskins, it's been going downhill. If you don't believe me, let's look at the history of Daniel Snyder and his reign as an owner. Most infamous is when he brings in a guy named Steve Spurrier, who wants to bring in the Florida Gators 2.0. And just remember our quarterback situation, we had Shane Matthews, Danny Warfel. Receivers weren't really all that neither. Remember we had Rondell Anthony. We had Antoine L that we thought, well, excuse me, I'll say he thought, because how Vernon L was with the Steelers, that he would come to the Washington Redskins and do the same. Nah, that didn't work. Then we bring in players that had one foot in the grave, and guys like Bruce Smith that they want to bring in for that sack record. Glad he got it. Congratulations. We bring in Dana Stubblefield. We bring in other players that do not deserve to be on our team, a.k.a. Adam Archuleta. We bring him in because we did with the Rams, so we thought he would do the exact same thing for us, even though we had a good safety in the back already by the name of Ryan Clark, who went on to the Pittsburgh Steelers, was actually a great player. But let's go back to the coaches. Remember Jim Zorn, who to me, I'm sorry, I had no clue what he was doing as a coach. Point blank. We had Jason Campbell. And I'm gonna say this, and I don't care if anybody has an issue with it. Washington Redskins to me led to that man's downfall to his career. Because the minute we got Jason Campbell, we had coach after coach, coach, offensive coordinator, to the fact that you had to have a man who had to know different playbooks since college coming to us, that he had to learn new ones. And then you have, let's go back to the most infamous player that the Daniel Snyder Ray had to sign. Say it with me, Albert Haynesworth. That guy got so much stories on him that's not even worth me talking about. Another player that we had, which I love dearly, I love to, in fact, when we first came to NFL, even now, as an analyst, is Deion Sanders. We brought in Deion, he gets turf toe, we give him a contract, and I believe that he's probably still getting paid from us to this day, even though he hasn't played for us in a while. Dan Snyder, without a shadow of a doubt, could go down as one of the worst NFL owners in the history of the NFL. Granted, yes, went to playoffs, but as you can see, it's almost like once in a blue moon. Because every year they come out with the rankings of each division, the Washington Redskins seem to always be last. Always seem to be fourth. Even when we won a division with RG3, the next final year, we weren't destined to be number one. We were destined to be number two. Even when we went to the playoff with Kirk Cousins, when we came back the next year, we were destined to be number one in our division. We were destined to be number, actually tied for second or third. Because they said the Cowboys were going to win our division. We bring in Joe Gibbs. And I, to this day, don't know why that they brought in Joe Gibbs. They probably thought maybe he'd be another Dick Vermeil. You know how the Rams brought back Dick Vermeil, and then a couple years later he won Super Bowl. So maybe he thought that Joe Gibbs got the exact same magic. Let's be real. Joe Gibbs had three rings. He got a racing speedway track. That's down the street from my house. Joe Gibbs did a good job here and there, but to game passed him by. Now, the only one he actually brought in that I was like, okay, you know, okay, like, maybe things are looking up, is when we brought in Mike Shanahan. But as we know, that didn't turn out right neither. See, firstly, when we had Mike Shanahan, you don't bring Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb was only there to stick it to the Eagles, and that ain't work because they beat us as well. Mike Shanahan did not want RG3. He wanted Kirk Cousins. Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen wanted RG3. Now, let's see what happened in the long run. Mike Shanahan must know football, because the guy who he wanted, Kirk Cousins, is a guy that other teams would love to have right now. The 49ers are basically about to throw the whole entire organization to us for Kirk Cousins. And as for RG3, he's looking for a job right now. The Washington Redskins right now is a turmoil team. And it starts with the owner. I only wish the NFL, other teams, and Goodell could come together and say, let's find someone to own the Washington Redskins and fire Daniel Snyder. But he's been terrible for over 15 years. And this is the issue that the Washington Redskins fans, including myself, are having with our team. Because you're an owner. That we feel like you're trying to get so many losses that you may try to move the Redskins. You almost want to pull a Major League movie. Now, if you've never seen a Major League movie, you need to go see it. It's a great movie. But you almost try to pull one of her movies. Pull one of her moves. How can you say you're a football guy when you're making the most questionable decisions as an owner? Are we not losing money? Because if you look at the reports, the Washington Redskins is one of the richest teams. We could easily get rid of guys like Bruce Allen. We got rid of the defensive coordinator, which took a long time. We're getting rid of good players. Where's all the money that we had that what was the money we're spending? We let go Chris Baker, Swaggy. We let him go. We let go two of the good, decent, actually some would consider great receivers. We let them two go. We let go some players. It's like, what exactly is going on? You fired Scott McCullough after 2 years. What did he do that was so bad? Some reports is coming in that he tried to get Kirk Cousins an extension, but they was like, we don't know because we're not RG3 going to fail. So what about what RG3 said? That's the problem, once again, by Daniel Snyder. We are trying to win. I'm sorry. We don't care about your feelings. This is the issue with Daniel Snyder. This is the issue with Bruce Allen. That I really think they truly are more worried about market value rather than legacy of the Washington Redskins. Jerry Jones, as much as I don't like the Cowboys, he got the market value, but he's where he won a ring. He did moves that you're not really expecting to make moves like that, and it turned out great. Drafted and signed an offensive lineman. Who does that? Do we draft an offensive lineman for, you know, you gotta worry about quarterback, receivers, running back, defensive lineman, linebackers, cornerbacks. He used draft and signed offensive lines. Now the Dallas Cowboys is arguably the best offensive line in the NFL. Some people say, why he drafted Jalen Ramsey? He drafted Ezekiel Elliott. Now Ezekiel Elliott was going as, what, bar none, probably one of the best running backs in the NFL. He looked at Dak Prescott. He got Dak Prescott. Now Dak Prescott is the leading quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. And as he simply was thinking that he may be there for a long time. So he actually looked at his legacy. He wants to ring. And as much as I hate the Dallas Cowboys, they were close. Because if it weren't for the great Aaron Rodgers, the bad man, like Stephen A. Smith said, making that one pass to Jared Cook, that was, he did a leaner, they could have possibly lost. And they could have won to face the Falcons. And the Falcons defense would have had a tough time against them. All I'm going to say is, I really hope that the Chicago Bulls and the Washington Redskins turn around. Because if they don't turn around, I might as well look forward to baseball with the Atlanta Braves or even look to hockey with the New York Rangers. Hey, but this is personal talk. Those are my two favorite teams. And as I end this podcast, I would like to say, please subscribe to it. Support it. I have a GoFundMe account. When I get video quality, this will be on YouTube and Facebook as well. You can look me up on Antonio Hicks. If you would like to comment on anything I said, you can comment on this podcast. I have an email as well. And if you want to write it down, my email is Rico, R-I-C-O, L's, E-L-Z-Z, 116 at gmail.com. I'd like to thank you again for listening. And I'll see you again. And this is the episode of So Disrespectful. Y'all have a great day. I'm so disrespectful. So disrespectful. I'm so disrespectful. So disrespectful.